Welcome once again, listeners, to Just a Memory here on CRY 104 FM. Now, in this programme, we visited the Clonmult ambush site on the 19th of February last, where the 102nd anniversary of the Clonmult ambush site took place. The guest speaker on the day was Lieutenant Colonel Joe Ahern. He was the son of Vice Commandant Joe Ahern, second in command of the 4th Battalion Flying Column in 1921. There now follows a recording of the proceedings.
Agreed, Ushla. Tafal Taroiv Galair, Quigan Sermonos, Kamorhasha, Igwivner and Leocon, a Horlandshoid Lunmunt, Kedags a Govli and Ohin. Is he according to make Desha Gwing or Mass, Sagas Armwakis, a Quernuild of Winter Nahata, a Viportak Siliacon? Gohardov Shida Mariuk, a Gortiuk, Agzadulling, Irilia Khan Clunmult. Good afternoon, everyone, and you're all very welcome to today's commemoration. We gather today to mark the 102nd anniversary of the Battle of Clonmult. We commemorate those who died, those who were injured, and those whose lives were impacted by the events on this site 102 years ago. Quernan O'Codshaw, Gwivna Dewing, Gurhrid Mwinterna Haita, Agus Ginyarna Shidi Berti, Hunus Gavwevadis Maraktaal Adir Tarsair, Agus Navshblok and you. Smina Mead Gahoraha, Orosudo Irhokurki, Arhidar Arson, Irik Kogarna Sersha. Tuganano Kodsha and you, Desh Doing, an Irok to Rinna Hoglak and Sha, Igorkig, A Ahant, Agus a Kimora. The centenary commemorations provided a very fitting tribute to the memory of the men and women involved in the Battle of Clonmult. Last year's visit of President Michael D. Higgins provided national recognition for the very local experience of the War of Independence as it unfolded here in Clonmult. This year, we continue to mark the significant contribution made to Irish history by all those involved in the Battle of Clonmult. Their memory lives on, and their deeds will always be acknowledged. Today's ceremony will consist of three main elements. The oration will be delivered by Lieutenant Colonel Joe Ahern. The original cross, which was made by inmates in Ballykenler internment camp, will be placed by the monument as we remember the 24 men who were present here in Gary Lawrence on the day of the ambush, and Father O'Flynn will lead us in prayers of remembrance before we raise our national flag. Today's oration will be delivered by Lieutenant Colonel Joe Ahern. Joe is the son of Vice Commandant Joseph Ahern, who was second in command of the 4th Battalion Flying Column. He's a nephew of Volunteer Liam Ahern, who was killed in the Battle of Clonmult. Quirgi Faltimore Liverdull, the Lieutenant Colonel Joe Ahern.
Garmahogut James. Akini Ushla. It is Sakbara, while I'm Mabwekus Aguile, the Wheel Christia Queenacon Clonmult, Asan Desh Agus Arnoi. Honor vor a hortam lort an shanyov, ag an ochaid specialta sha. Time seg lort an sha in yov tisk timpishta brehe, vi maher maradort James, an kyangfort shosofo haktirna, mar dara iganis ar an gahru kahlan kolun raha, vi ma uncle limo haktirna, imask namarav itunwalt ar an lav starul shin. I would like at the outset to thank the members of the Clonmult Commemoration Committee for giving me this opportunity and indeed the great honour of speaking on this occasion. I am speaking here today because of an accident of birth. My father, Commandant Joseph Ahern, was the second in command of the 4th Battalion Flying Column. He took command of the column after Commandant Dermot O'Leary was killed by British forces on the 28th of May 1921. I am also a nephew of Liam Ahern, one of those who lost his life at Clonmult. I am conscious of the fact that I am here along with representatives of many other families whose relatives took an active part in the War of Independence in East Cork, and from whom came the young men who paid the ultimate price for Irish freedom at Clonmult. While I would not presume to speak for the families represented here, I think I can say that the sense of close connection with the feeling of pride and sorrow in counting the men of Clonmult among our family members is a tradition passed down through the generations of our families. We owe great debt of gratitude to all of those who have brought about this annual commemoration who have brought this annual commemoration about and put this magnificent memorial in place. It's been said many times, but I would like to highlight it once again, the immense contribution made by Christy O'Sullivan and his family to ensuring that what took place here on the 20th of February 1921 will not be forgotten. The Battle of Clonmult is a memory and a tradition that lives within the families connected with it. It's also a history and tradition that belongs to the Clonmult community and to East Cork as a whole. When we contemplate the impact of the loss suffered at Clonmult on the towns and villages of this area, we can perhaps better appreciate the sacrifices that were made in the cause of achieving freedom for our country. The definitive account of the Battle of Clonmult has been written by Commandant Tam O'Neill. What he has done is to thoroughly explore the circumstances surrounding the battle and analyse the events from a military perspective. He presents a professional and objective account of what happened. The subtitle of his book is The IRA's Worst Defeat, and indeed it was a huge blow to the IRA military campaign. With the passage of time, and indeed the availability of research material, it has become possible to look at the position in which the Clonmult, in which the column found themselves in a more objective way. This was not always possible. In the 1960s, when I was a young lieutenant in the Defence Forces, I attended the funeral of a relative in Middleton. In conversation after the funeral, I ventured the view that some errors of military judgment and procedure had contributed to the situation in which the members of the column found themselves at Clonmult. My views were politely but firmly rejected by those present. It was clear that anything that might be seen as criticism of what happened was not going to be accepted. Thankfully, with the passing of time and increasing availability of research material, it is now feasible for historians and academics to capture the events of the War of Independence in a factual and realistic way. I believe many of the War of Independence veterans were reluctant to discuss their experience. My father died when I was 7 years of age, so I did not have the opportunity to talk to him about his participation. One of the most valuable assets available to researchers comes from a very far-sighted initiative taken by the then Minister for Defence, Oscar Traynor, a former captain in the Irish Volunteers, in setting up the Bureau of Military History in January 1947. The rationale for the establishment of the Bureau was to give individuals who played an active part in the events which brought about Irish independence a chance to record their own experience. The materials gathered did not become available for public scrutiny until 2003. Since 2012, the substantial portion of the materials have been available online. The members of the 4th Battalion Flying Column were, for the most part, young men in their 20s. Their weapons were a random collection of small arms. They did not have military clothing designed for harsh weather conditions. Regular armies spend a lot of time and expend a great deal of ammunition training their troops in the basic skills of marksmanship and fieldcraft. The IRA could only do this, if at all, in a very limited way because they had limited amounts of ammunition and firing practices would very quickly attract the attention of the authorities. The IRA were fighting a well-trained and equipped British army, many of whom were hardened veterans of the First World War. The events that unfolded at Clonmult were to an extent a laying bare of the chasm that existed between the two sides in terms of resources, training, and experience. If I could quote from my father's statement to the Bureau of Military History, describing the early days of training with the Middleton Company of the Irish Volunteers. The company was formed in 1916. And he says, discussions amongst ourselves about the aims, object, and policy of the country were frequent, and many a laugh was had at our expense when we tried to visualize the task confronting the volunteers. However, as we had a fanatical belief in the justice of our cause, we did not consider the possibility of failure. And I believe the motto of the volunteers in the Middleton Company was death or victory. He goes on to say, we knew nothing about drill, less about tactics, and our armaments consisted of a few shotguns and one or two revolvers of small caliber. He speaks about what passed as musketry training. Our rifles were stout branches broken off nearby trees, and it always raised a laugh when we were told to fall out and get our rifles. Apart from training, the early activities of volunteers involved raids to collect armaments and fundraising to purchase them. The first military operation which the 4th Battalion took part in was an attempted raid under the command of Terence McSweeney, Lord Mayor of Cork, on the aerodrome at Ballyquirk, about 14 kilometres from Middleton. The raid was abandoned after the transport carrying the volunteers from Cork broke down. Sometime later, Middleton and Cove companies decided to attack the aerodrome without the support of the Cork volunteers. Their armament consisted of three revolvers in the hands of the officers, and the rest of the company were issued with what my father describes as stout ash clubs. This operation again failed because the garrison at the aerodrome were roused before the volunteers could launch their assault, and given their lack of armament, the element of surprise would have been vital for the success of the operation. In his statement, my father recalls a remark made to him by David Desmond, who along with his brother Michael lost his life at Clanmult while they were waiting to enter the aerodrome. He said, David Desmond said, I was thinking that it's one thing to read Irish history, but it's another thing to make it when you're up against a man with a rifle with only a club in your hand. From an armament's point of view, things improved towards the end of 1919. They had enough funding to dispatch Tadhg Manley, later a TD representing this area, to Belfast to purchase seven revolvers and a small amount of ammunition. These weapons arrived just in time. They were used in January 1920 by the volunteers from Cove and Middleton companies under the command of Commandant Mick Leahy from Cove when capturing Carrigtool RIC station. This is recognised as the first attack on an RIC barracks officially sanctioned by the IRA General Headquarters. In February 1920, volunteers under the command of Commandant Dermot Hurley captured Castlemartyr RIC barracks. When the 4th Battalion East Cork Flying Column was formed in August 1920, the arms and ammunition captured in these operations considerably improved the resources available to them. But of course, the gap between the IRA and the British forces remained huge. The capture of these RIC barracks was a great achievement on the part of the volunteers, considering it was the first time that many of them, including my father, had come under hostile enemy fire. I have spoken of the tradition of Clanmult, which belongs to the families and communities of East Cork. This legacy also belongs to the Defence Forces. Oglaig na hÉireann is a lineal descendant of the volunteer force that fought in the War of Independence. The IRA unit covering East Cork area was the 4th Battalion, which is one of the 10 battalions in the 1st Cork Brigade. It's interesting to note that Collins Barrack Cork, formerly Victoria Barracks, was the home of the 4th Battalion of the National Army, the Permanent Defence Forces, almost continuously from 1925 to 2012, when it was disbanded as part of a Defence Forces reorganisation. Many of those serving in the units that moved into Collins Barracks in 1925, after it was restored, having been destroyed in the Civil War, were War of Independence veterans. My father, Commandant Joseph Hearn, was the commanding officer of another battalion, the 16th Battalion, which moved into the barracks at that time. The Defence Forces, of which they were founder members, went on to become, along with the Garda Síochána, the guarantors of the free and democratic republic which the IRA fought for. In addition, the men of Clanmult, I'm sure, would have been proud of the men and women of present-day Oglaig na hÉireann, who have served and are serving today in countries across the world torn by war and violence. 88 Defence Force personnel have lost their lives in overseas service. Most recently, Private Sean Rooney from Dundalk lost his life while serving in Lebanon. I would also wish Trooper Shane Carney from Killa, who was seriously injured in the same incident, a speedy recovery. It's appropriate that we have participating here today members of the Organisation of National Ex-Service Personnel who during the service completed many tours of duty with the United Nations. The fact that the people of this area could suffer such a huge and tragic loss but not lose the will to resist and continue to support the struggle for freedom must have had some part in persuading the British authorities that military might was not going to succeed and that peace would only be found at the negotiating table. What emerged from the negotiation table is the independent country that we now know and that has taken its place among the nations of Europe and the world. Perhaps from a Clonmel point of view, it was a case of losing the battle but winning the war. There is an anti-war ballad called All the Fine Young Men, which Dolores Keane and Mary Black, among others, have recorded. The final verse of this ballad includes the words, "For many of those fine young men, all the wars are over. They have found peace. It's the peace that lasts forever. They are just forgotten bones lying far from their homes, as forgotten as the cause for which they died. For as long as the fine young men of Clonmalt lie among their own in East Cork, for as long as this magnificent memorial stands in this place, for as long as we and those who come after us gather here to remember them, the fine young men of Clonmalt will not be forgotten, nor will the cause for which they died be forgotten."
Buekas o Cree Josef, a suck na kainta, agus a vetling in you, agus gak blian, egan kamora sho. Thanks to Joe for attending today's commemoration ceremony, indeed for being a regular attendee at the commemorations and for delivering such an informative and insightful oration. The chairman of the commemoration committee, Christy O'Sullivan, will now present Joe with a token of appreciation for his oration and attendance. Now, we do have a further presentation, which we would also like to make now to some very special recipients. The decade 2012 to 2023 is categorised as the decade of centenaries by our government, as it marks the centenary of a number of important historical events that occurred in Ireland in the period 1912 to 1923. As part of the commemoration programme for this decade of centenaries, students at all levels of primary and post-primary across the island of Ireland were invited to enter the annual All-Ireland Schools History Competition. The teams of the competition all had a particular link to events of a century ago across the island of Ireland. The competition was run by the Department of Education and the University College Cork School of History. Six pupils from Scartley NS in Saline completed a research project on the ambush at Clonmalt as their entry to the competition. The pupils, Cathal Sweeney, Conor Horgan, Ben Fitzgerald, Cathal Power, Kelly Sheehan and Keelan O'Leary chose the topic of the ambush as their school has family connections with the men of Clonmalt. They carried out the research on the project over 6 months. They named their project the Battle of Clonmalt, inspired by Tom O'Neill's book, The Battle of Clonmalt, the IRA's Worst Defeat, which was also one of the sources of their research. And I think they also visited the site here and got a tour from Tom, and Tom also visited the school in Saline. Their project consisted of a detailed outline and analysis of the events on the day, along with a dramatisation of the events. And then, in October of last year, the nationwide competition was judged by academics from UCC, and in the category Revolution in Ireland, the pupils of Saline were awarded first place. This is a fantastic achievement, and we're delighted to be joined today by their teacher, Katrina, by Chloe, who has a family connection to Captain Richard Hagerty, and by Connor, Ben and Keelan, who all completed work on the project. The chairman of the committee, Christy, and we might ask Joe Ahern as well, will now make a presentation to the pupils in recognition of their fantastic research, presentation and achievement. Well done, boys and girls. Yeah. Well done to their teacher, and well done to all and Sally. Great. So now we'll proceed with a cross-laying ceremony. So Rinnoch Fehacahar Chris, Icamor na Dina, Vi Lohar at Lunmult, Erin Fehula, the Feora, Milane Gade is a Fehahain. Tona Krisha, Ilohar, in you, in Akaleshan Shade Camora. 24 replica crosses in memory of all who were present here in Gary Lawrence Clonmult on the 20th of February 1921 are on display by the monument. A wooden cross bearing the names of those who died here at the Clonmult ambush and the prisoners who were later executed was made by Tom MacMailon from Kinsale during his internment in Ballykinler Camp, County Down, in July 1921. This original cross will now be brought forward and placed on display by Tom O'Neill, the author of The Battle of Clonmult. The crosses in memory of all those who were present are now in place by the monument. We remember Commandant Dermot Hurley, Vice Commandant Joe Ahern, Captain Paddy Whelan, Captain Dermot O'Leary, Captain Paddy Higgins, Captain Jack O'Connell, Captain Richard Hagerty, Captain James Ahern, Lieutenant Patrick O'Sullivan, Lieutenant Christopher O'Sullivan, Volunteer Jeremiah Ahern, Volunteer Joseph Morrissey, Volunteer Michael Hallahan, Volunteer James Glavin, Volunteer John Joe Joyce, Volunteer Michael Desmond, Volunteer Donald Dennehy, Volunteer Lee Mahern, Volunteer David Desmond, Volunteer Morris Moore, First Lieutenant John Harty, Edmund Terry na Fianna, William Gard, and Robert Walsh. I ask you all to now stand and observe a minute's silence in their honour. Margaret. Our local priest, Father Barry O'Flynn, will now lead us in a prayer for those who lost their lives here in Clonmult and for all those who died during the War of Independence.
In the name of the Father, Son, Holy Spirit, Amen. Jesus said to his disciples, "This is my commandment, love one another as I have loved you. There is no greater love than this, to give one's life for one's friends." As we are reminded here today in Clonmullet of the great sacrifice which these men have made, we now bring these prayers with a sense of gratitude and humility. We pray today for our leaders. May they be willing to make courageous and conciliatory actions to bring peace and harmony to the troubled parts of the world. Lord, hear us. We pray for ourselves gathered here. May we always be grateful for the sacrifices which have been made by those who have gone before us. Lord, hear us. We remember with gratitude all those who care for this historic site. May we always appreciate what they do for our community. Lord, hear us. We also remember today Irish people around the world. May they be kept safe wherever they may be, and may they also be happy and make a positive contribution to the country they now call home. Lord, hear us. We bring all our prayers to the Father as we say, Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Almighty God, through the death of your Son on the cross, you destroyed our debt. Through his rest in the tomb, you hallowed the graves of all who believe in you, and through his rising again, you restored us to eternal life. God of the living and the dead, accept our prayers for those who have died in Christ and are buried with him in the hope of rising again. We think of all those who died because of Clonmullet. Since they were true to your name on earth, let them now praise you forever in the joys of heaven. We ask this through Christ our Lord. Amen. Eternal rest grant unto them, O Lord. May they rest in peace. May their soul and the souls of all the faithful departed, through the mercy of God, rest in peace. Amen. Father, Son, Holy Spirit. Amen.
Thank you to Father Flynn for joining us today for the lovely Mass this morning and for leading us in the prayer ceremony. Today's commemoration is now reaching its conclusion. The efforts of the committee in organising today's ceremony and continuing to honour the memory of the victims of the Battle of Clonmullet deserves ongoing recognition. This year, the Clonmullet Ambush Centenary Monument was fittingly honoured when it won the Heritage Award in the Cork County Pride in Our Community Award ceremony. The work of Chairman Christie, Secretary Tim, and the whole committee are much appreciated by all those associated with the ambush and by their community. On behalf of the committee, I'd like to thank the members of the ONE for their attendance and participation today, to the choir and the musicians at Mass this morning, and we'd also like to thank everybody for attending, especially our pupils from Saline NS. Today has given us an insight into the story of Vice Commandant Joseph Ahern. We remember him and all of the victims, and we honour the grief carried by their families down through the decades. We continue to value the importance of sharing their story and respectful remembrance. They are, and always will be, our families, our friends, and our people. Cuiv de mish orhu ilig. We remember them all. I'd ask you all to stand now for the raising of our flag, which will be followed by our national anthem, Aran Naveen.
Joseph, James, and David played soldiers with their friends. The innocence of childhood never showed where it would end. They were sons of Erin's soil, Irishmen through to their core. Born of loyal families and born into the war. And they played at revolution with the English as their foe. And waged war within the fields where the wildflowers grow. As time passed and the dial came, things they took a turn. There were things to be sorted, there were lessons to be learned. So they joined the 4th Battalion alongside other sons. Fighting for their freedom and the land that they all loved. And at night they'd ambush and attack, then silently they'd go and hide within the fields where the wildflowers grow. Soon they generated the wrath of black and tan. They were forced from town to town, hunted man by man. The orders came to make a show of strength at Castlemar. A mighty stand for Ireland by men with angry hearts. So they took themselves a farmhouse and laid themselves right low. And from the windows they could see the wildflowers grow. But a traitor, he betrayed them and sent the soldiers in. Black and tan's auxiliaries, there was no chance to win. John Joe Joyce raised the alarm as he saw the troops arrive. And in a hail of bullets, he and Michael Desmond died. A fierce and bloody battle, then the sky with fire did glow. And the soldier's song defiantly sung where wildflowers grow. The call for to surrender was taken after time. The dying and the wounded all around were lying. They'd done their best for Ireland, but the traitor's head had reared. And by treachery and cowardice, destroyed the volunteers. So the door that had defended them was open to the foe. And the soldiers watched in triumph from where the wildflowers grow. Nine men left the farmhouse, eight against the wall. The sound of bang bang filled the air, eight heroes then did fall. Some say it was the black and tans, others say reserves. But to the flying column, they were English murderers. Then the captain of this rabble came to stop the shooting show and laid them in the fields where the wildflowers grow.
That was a recording of the proceedings at the 102nd commemoration of the Clonmult ambush held on the 19th of February last at Clonmult. Our grateful thanks go out to the following people: Christy O'Sullivan, the chairman of the Clonmult Commemoration Committee, and Tim O'Sullivan, the secretary of the Clonmult Commemoration Committee. Until next time on Just a Memory, Noel Cronin saying bye.